Hello, I'm news writer Seamus McGillicuddy, and here is a roundup of the news, tips, and other resources you'll find this week on searchcio.com. Experts agree, updating IT skills is a good thing, but for many IT professionals, the constant changes in technologies and the need to stay on top of them stress these workers out. Nicole Haggerty, an assistant professor with the Ivy Business School at the University of Western Ontario, said constant innovation in technology often destroys the competencies of IT workers because new technologies come along that require new skills. Legacy technologies may remain relevant, but the demand for those skills shrinks. It is for precisely this reason that Bob Fechteau, CIO for the Customer Solutions Operating Group at BAE Systems, the Farnborough, England defense contractor, is so careful with the technology that he introduces to his company. Fechteau said bringing new technology into his organization not only forces his staff to learn new skills, it also forces a change in culture. Fechteau said he knows that if he implements a financial management application from Oracle for his 79,000 employee company, and then later on tries to implement an ERP application from an Oracle competitor, the Oracle programmers in his organization will resist the move. Still, he knows the importance of keeping his employees up to date with the latest technical knowledge. Ivy Business School's Haggerty said CIOs may face risks if they don't monitor the stress levels induced by new technologies and need to be aware that stress caused by pressures to keep skills up to date is not a one-off thing. It is an ongoing pressure. She said CIOs need to give people time to do some skills updating. They should get a specific time on the job to play around with new technology, regardless of whether implementation is imminent. Read more about why CIOs need to pay attention to on-the-job stresses. You'll find the story and related links on our news page. Google Incorporated's designs on corporate desktops got a little more real with the announcement this week from consulting firm Capgemini that it's partnering with the search giant to bring Google Apps to the enterprise market. Paris-based Capgemini, which has $10 billion in revenue and supports about 1 million desktop users worldwide, said the partnership with Google bolsters its portfolio of desktop solutions, bringing next-generation communication and collaboration services to corporate employees, from deskless seasonal workers who need email, for example, to employees in need of efficient ways to collaborate on documents. Google Apps Premier Edition, which includes Docs and Spreadsheets, Gmail, Google Calendar, and Google Talk products, will be delivered as software as a service over the internet through an employee's web browser. Over the next 5 years, this delivery model of software is expected to have an annual compound growth rate of 25%, according to Gartner Incorporated, and the price is cheap, $40 per user. Ben Pring, an analyst at Stanford, Connecticut-based Gartner, who's following the partnership closely, said he sees the news as a relatively big deal, providing a roadmap for Google's foray into enterprise territory, a nice bit of publicity for Capgemini, and legitimacy to the SaaS model. One could potentially raise an eyebrow that the partnership is not with one of the leading firms in the U.S. market, but he said it is an important first step. As Mountain View, California-based Google pushes into selling enterprise-class applications to large companies, it will need to work through this channel, Pring said. Capgemini, which is better known in Europe, where it's based, shares in Google halo effect and gains some short-term competitive advantage among peers by being first to market, Pring said. More significant for the software market at large, the venture indicates there is interest in Google and this kind of service among the firm's large corporate clients. Ray Wang, an analyst at Forrester Research Incorporated, said this is one of those interesting deals where you have a preeminent Web 2.0 company and what they're offering on the app side, partnering with Capgemini, one of the big systems integrators. Google gets to make a play in the enterprise market with trusted partners, and Capgemini gets the credibility of putting a Web 2.0 app like Google Apps before its customers as an alternative. I look at it as a pretty good win-win, Wang said. Wang went on to say that Forrester data on SaaS shows two important points. The interest in SaaS is actually on the enterprise side. The number two thing people are looking for in SaaS is not CRM, but email collaboration software. Capgemini already provides email services to a lot of companies around the world, so this is a natural extension for clients who want an email alternative to Microsoft or different deployment options, Wang said. Experts agree the partnership is not likely to surprise or give much pause, publicly anyway, to Microsoft. Pring contends that Microsoft will shrug their shoulders and say it's not a big deal. It begins to show that corporations are looking for alternatives to Microsoft's way of doing this. Someone who can come in with a cheaper price point will always be attractive. Read more about the impact Google is having on business applications in the enterprise by visiting searchcio.com. Companies that outsource IT functions save between 12 and 17% of the cost of doing the same work in-house, a new report from Forrester Research finds. The savings take into account the expense of moving the work to an outside provider, advisor and legal fees, severance for any employees let go, taxes, and ongoing management of the deal. Moreover, the discount is conservative, said Forrester analyst Paul Rohrig, because it does not factor in harder-to-quantify benefits that can be accrued in a good outsourcing deal. The Forrester study was done in conjunction with TPI, a global advisory firm which specializes in structuring large outsourcing deals, and analyzed data from 53 separate outsourcing transactions handled by TPI from 2003 to 2006. 70% of IT decision makers told Forrester they remained focused on finding ways to curtail IT services spending in 2007. And contrary to popular belief, IT outsourcing is not widespread among U.S. companies. The global outsourcing market is estimated at $77 billion per year, with U.S. companies accounting for about $44 billion. According to Forrester, only about 30% of the U.S. businesses outsource IT infrastructure, putting the potential U.S. outsourcing market at $110 billion. Applying the 15% average discount realized by TPI clients, the untapped $66 billion market is sitting on a potential savings of $9.9 billion a year. Rohrig, a Forrester, expects much of the market potential will go to the established multinational players, particularly business from state and federal governments. But the India-based service providers will continue to capture market share from the traditional players, he said. Ayan Mukherjee, Senior Vice President, Product Engineering Solutions for Wipro Technologies, has worked in IT services and focuses now on Wipro's $1 billion research and development services, which represents about 33% of the company's business. Typically, he sees savings of between 15% and as high as 30% on IT and product engineering products, both. But increasingly, clients make the decision to use Wipro for revenue generation rather than absolute savings, such as access to global markets, new ways of doing business, and time to market. The TPI data pointed to a sweet spot for savings. The greatest savings tended to come from deals with total contract values of between $200 million and $1 billion, and the annual spend of between $50 million and $120 million, and duration of 7 years. These clients can expect to see savings of about 17%. Are you saving as much through outsourcing as you think? Read this story and other related advice by visiting our news page at searchcio.com. The IT Infrastructure Library, also known as ITIL, is designed to help CIOs and other IT professionals improve processes within their organizations. ITIL version 3 expanded on this concept to provide guidance on how these processes should be done. But the CIO cannot simply implement ITIL and be done with it. It's a strategy and a process, neither of which can be done overnight, as ITIL expert and reviewer Dave Poltorek points out. Beginning with a buy-in from other IT employees as well as top management, the CIO must drive the process and allocate the right time, money, and resources to be spent on ITIL. Is ITIL a good fit for all companies? Do you need to upgrade to version 3 if you're using version 2? What are the service management best practices? Who are the key stakeholders within your organization who will need to get on board to make an ITIL success story? This executive guide offers advice, tips, articles, webcasts, podcasts, and more for CIOs. From training and educating IT staff on ITIL, configuration management database, and IT service management, to the specific details of version 3 and the best practices for implementation. CIOs can implement ITIL knowing there will be significant progress and results in their IT organization. All these articles, tips, and other resources are available now on searchcio.com. I'm Seamus McGillicuddy. Thank you for listening and have a great day.